Karen Melby knows what it's like to feel vulnerable and alone, but she also knows where to find hope.
If you are a widow or you're about to become a widow, if you cry out to the Lord, He will come and He will take up His defense for you and help you.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walgamoo, co-author of True Woman 201, for August 22nd, 2018.
Talking about something today that can be a little uncomfortable or overwhelming or anxiety-inducing, but it doesn't need to be any of that because Scripture talks a lot about our money, our resources, the gifts God has entrusted to us, and how we can honor Him with them. So it's important to think about these things sooner than later, and I'm so thankful to be sitting at a table here at the studios of our Daily Bread Ministries, talking with my friend Karen Melby, a fairly recent widow, and we go back a long ways. We've walked through a lot of journey together, and she's sharing out of that journey with us. And then Lisa Hagenauer, who's an estate planning and probate attorney, and that's a mouthful, but it's something we need to be familiar with, and thank you, Lisa. And then Andrea Karsten, who's a financial advisor. And Andrea, you were just telling me about how the Lord had used Kingdom Advisors in your life. It's a ministry my husband has been connected with for some years as well. They have an annual conference for financial advisors. And Ron Blue is the one who had the heart for starting that ministry. Others are now leading it. But I love how they talk about God owns it all and what a responsibility we have to care for what God has entrusted to us and how we're going to give account to Him. So this is not just like making sure that we have enough to live on forever, because we're not going to be here forever, but it's about how do we honor God with this worldly, physical, tangible stuff He's entrusted to us, and how do we honor Him not just during our lifetime, but beyond our lifetime. And Kingdom Advisors has been a big part, as have some other ministries. We named Crown Ministries in the last program. But these are some good, biblically grounded people who have helped us to think about these subjects.
I absolutely give credit to Kingdom Advisors in how it is that I practice today. Kingdom Advisors, using rock-solid biblical principles and in teaching, ultimately to give peace to those of us here today, that if these biblical principles are practiced, that we are then following God's plan. God has a whole lot to say about money in the Bible. It's been said more than 2,300 verses, scripture, in the Bible. 75% of the parables that Jesus speaks about have to do with money and possessions.
Yeah.
And God does have a plan for that, like He does everything else, for sure.
I'll tell you what else I love that gives me a lot of comfort when it comes to this area, because it's not, you know, I was a piano major in college, and I'm a Bible teacher, and I'm going, this stuff about wills and financial plans and can be feel really overwhelming to me. But that verse in Proverbs 2, verse 6, that tells us the Lord gives wisdom. Understanding comes from His mouth. And so the Lord gives wisdom, and He puts wise people in our lives to be able to help us in the areas where we don't have wisdom. So in the last program, we were talking about the importance of having a team. Now, this doesn't mean that you hire all these people, because we left that conversation and we said, I think somebody could be listening to this and thinking, wow, you have to have a lot of money to be concerned about these things. But the fact is, for example, we all need a will. And Lisa, tell us what happens if you don't have a will when you die or when your mate dies, when your parents die. Why does that matter?
Right. Well, it's important to understand that when you are looking at whether you need a will, and I think 99% of people do need a will.
I take it back. I said
100%. Yeah, you said 100%. I would say 99%. And the reason why I say that is the will is how we transfer our assets to our loved ones. That's one method.
Or to charity, or to
Whoever we want to make sure in our continued stewardship that that money flows to.
So even if you're single, you don't have dependents, you don't have a family, you still... It's going to go somewhere.
Absolutely.
And if you don't have a will, what happens to it?
Well, if you don't have a will and you don't have some other way provided for it to transfer. For instance, it's important to know that not everything would be transferred from your will. If you have a retirement asset, as an example, a 401k, and let's say, just for discussion purposes, that's all you have. You own nothing else, which obviously wouldn't be the case, but you designate beneficiaries on that 401k, and that by law transfers when you die. Whoever those beneficiaries are receive that money.
So even that may need to be updated.
Yes, and I can't tell you how many times I have had situations where people come into my office and we talk about, well, let's review your assets and where they're going. And, you know, have you set that up? Oh, yeah, I have, you know, my spouse on there, and then I think my kids are contingent on there. If something happens, yeah, I'm pretty sure. And then when we take a look at it, it's actually not the case.
Well, I talked to someone recently who does have a life insurance policy, but the beneficiary is their mate who has been in heaven for 3 years.
It's very,
so
very,
that needs
common.
To be updated.
Yes, absolutely. And that's how we end up in court a lot, is we will have, I had a will recently where the gentleman had 10 different people listed as various beneficiaries. And by the time he passed, everyone had predeceased him. This will was back to like 1972 or something like that, and there was no one left.
Right.
Which is unique. You don't see that very often, but I do see a lot of times where someone is gone. And then what happens to that person's share? Does it go to someone else? Or if you don't provide for it, then it could actually flow through their planning and go to their kids. And maybe that's your intention, maybe it's not. And so it's really important. And the planning itself not only necessitates that court action if you don't have it done properly, but it promotes problems with, you know, the dynamics between, you know, adult kids, for example, and whether maybe they don't get along swimmingly during life. You know, we all have different personalities. Those little cracks in the relationship or those little difficulties become exacerbated so much, and you lose relationships over those things. So the planning helps when the matriarch or the patriarch of a family passes away. If there's no good planning in place, sometimes I see those families just fall apart because it promotes sort of disagreements.
Yeah.
That
happened in the scripture where,
yes,
two men came,
right,
to Jesus and said, Lord, tell my brother to give me my share of the inheritance.
Absolutely.
And so we see this happen a lot. And I think we should say that, and this is another subject, but just as a parenthesis here, that it should not necessarily be assumed that all of the assets the Lord has entrusted you should be passed on to your children.
Absolutely.
For various reasons.
Right.
Maybe your children are not walking with the Lord or don't have responsibility, or maybe there are verses in Scripture about how an inheritance quickly gained in the beginning can bring ruin. Mm-hmm. You may have more than what your children can spiritually handle. And I'm so thankful. And when my dad passed, there were 7 children ages 8 to 21, so no adults. I was the oldest. I am the oldest in that family. And he didn't, this was sudden, but he had made provision. And we knew this in advance, that the large percentage of his estate, whatever he would have when he went to be with the Lord, was not going to his children.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he wanted to make sure that our needs would be met, that my mother's needs would be met, that she would be cared for. But he also wanted us to know that he cared about investing in ministries.
Mm-hmm.
He was a generous giver in his lifetime. And so we were prepared to know that he wanted us to have those same values.
Absolutely.
And that was part of his planning, part of his preparation to say, what, you know, how can I honor God, not only in my lifetime with my giving and my living, but how can I provide for my family and honor the Lord beyond my family by investing in the Lord's work? And there is with our generation, those of us sitting around this table who are boomers, that a huge amount of wealth, trillions of dollars, that our generation is transferring to the next. And we need to be asking these questions. How can we advance the kingdom of Christ as we turn loose? We're not going to be holding on to,
right, absolutely,
those dollars. That, you know, when our body is room temperature, we're not going to be doing anything with that money. We're not going to need it. We're not going to have any bills to pay. You know, and we need to make sure that we've cared well for the ones that God has given to our care, but also investing beyond our lifetime where we can in the Lord's work. Now, let me ask you about
again, I think some people could be listening and thinking, this is just for people who have a lot of money. But I don't have a lot. I'm just kind of getting by. Can my will, is it something I can do on a simple online will, or do I have to have an estate attorney? Lisa, what do you tell our listeners?
Yeah, I think it's really important to educate yourself if you're doing that. I'm not an estate planning attorney who thinks everyone needs a trust or trust planning or extensive planning and that everyone needs an attorney. I think if you own personal property and you have some simple assets that you have beneficiaries designated on and you don't have children with special needs or minor children or any of those types of situations, a simple will online will actually serve people just fine. The problem is making sure you educate yourself enough to understand your situation and know that that's where you fit in. Because there's so many people who think that they don't need it, you know, and then we find out, oh, they actually have a special needs child who receives governmental benefits, and now they, you know, they could be disqualified from their benefits because they receive an interest. If you have minor children and anything is passing through that will, do you want them to receive everything when they're 18? Because they will if you have a simple will. You can't control when they receive it. So sometimes more complex planning is important there, where we can say, okay, well, they'll get a certain amount at 25 or 30 or 35. So there is a very small subset of people who I think can adequately do an online will, but you have to make sure you fall within that category.
So I think a key thing you said is get educated, mm-hmm. and that may not become your primary area of expertise.
Right.
But you need to find somebody who is knowledgeable about that, who can at least help you know what you need to look for.
Right.
The thing we're saying is don't ignore it.
Right.
Don't pretend like, convince yourself that you can keep going, because especially, you know, the younger you are, the more you just don't think about these things. And as you get older and you start going to more funerals and you see more people going into that season of life, our parents, some of our grandparents and peers now not being adequately prepared, this should remind us that this is a stewardship issue. Mm-hmm. This isn't just a matter of being, you know, financially successful. It's a matter of honoring Christ and blessing our families and promoting the advance of the gospel through how we handle in our lifetimes and beyond our lifetimes what God has entrusted to us.
Right.
Let me just interject something here, too, that just as speaking as a widow, one of the things that the Lord really impressed upon me is that He cares about widows. There are several verses in the Bible where He talks about His love and His concern and His care, that He will be a defender of widows.
And also that He's going to go after those who...
Yes.
Who use widows. Take advantage of them.
So, you know, I want to just say, especially to your listeners who might be in a situation where they are expecting to become a widow, you might have a husband who is sick, or even if you are not, maybe if the sun is shining and you and your husband are very healthy and happy right now, just tuck this away, that God will take care of the widow. The one thing that I learned is that, you know, I knew this beforehand that God is faithful, but I have seen His faithfulness and I have been able to experience how, even in my ignorance when it came to all of this estate planning and financial planning, all the administrative details, the beautiful thing is that because God is a defender of widows, He steps in,
yeah,
and He puts people in place for you. And if you cannot financially handle all of those, the expense of an estate planning attorney, I believe that God will provide a friend for you or somebody in your circle who will hold your hand and come alongside and help you. And your prayer simply has to be, Lord, show me what I need to know. Just navigate, yes, the course for me, mm-hmm, and open doors. Introduce me to people that I need to have in my life who will help me navigate this new path that I'm on.
This is a very real provision and protection the Lord provides. And it's also a command to the people of God to care for the widows. Mm-hmm. And so this is pure religion and undefiled. James tells us to care for widows and orphans mm-hmm. in their distress. So some of us have, but we all probably have widows in our churches. And if you have some financial expertise or some connection to someone who does, look around and see who may be being overwhelmed or may need just somebody to walk with them. In fact, your son, Karen, was mm-hmm. one of the ones the Lord used in your life. He has background as a financial advisor, and that's a blessing God gave to you as a widow. But mm-hmm. there are other, if it hadn't been for Drew,
right,
the Lord would have had somebody else.
Absolutely.
And that's why we want to encourage those who have some knowledge in this to say, don't just care for your own needs, mm-hmm. but look around and say, is there somebody, a single mom, who's struggling to pull this together, or mm-hmm. somebody who's going to be widowed, that, and those relationships that you and Scott had invested in, discipling, nurturing spiritually, encouraging in the Lord mm-hmm. in the years when you were healthy, mm-hmm. some of those turned out to be people that the Lord brought into your life to step in.
Yes. Yeah,
to help you with those needs.
That's very true. Yeah. And as far as this team goes, two of them were completely new to me. But the Lord did that. The Lord mm-hmm. put those people in my life to help navigate that whole course of the unknowns. You know, it's like opening a door into a black room. It's that house that you talked about when the lights go off and you can't, you don't know your way in the unknown. But God does. Yeah. And He goes before you and He puts the people in place. And I guarantee you, if you're somebody looking for a widow and you want to reach out and help a widow and you ask the Lord, how can I help? He'll show you.
Absolutely.
And I also can be sure that if you are a widow or you're about to become a widow, that if you cry out to the Lord, He will come and He will take up His defense for you and help you.
You were telling me today just about a little thing, and it's not in the realm of finances, but it's just God's care for those who need care. And you had a situation, I won't go into all the details, but where you were needing to transport some stuff for a wedding shower for one of your daughters, and your car had a unexpected need to be taken into the shop, and you're a juggler, Karen. You always have a lot of stuff going on, and you ended up with a loaner car from the...
A very large minivan.
From the repair shop mm-hmm. that was perfect for what you needed.
Exactly.
And you were telling me that if Scott had been here, he would have thought ahead mm-hmm. and think, and how are we going to carry all this stuff?
How are we going to get these from Wheaton, Illinois back to Grand Rapids? He would have thought of that. I had not thought of that.
But the Lord had.
He did. Mm-hmm. And He caused a problem in my Jeep. So the Jeep dealership gave me a loaner car, and I was very upset about it. But as I pulled away, as I turned and looked at the amount of space in this minivan,
and realized it was just
realized,
what you needed.
I am so sorry I complained, Lord. This is your provision for me that yes. I had not even thought I needed.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He went ahead of me and provided for me.
So when we talk about financial planning, wills, estates, trusts, we're not saying you can control the whole future,
right?
That you can, you know, this is in my hands. You know, we're not saying you're going to be self-sufficient or that, because things, I mean, nobody had a clue my dad was going to drop dead mm-hmm. at 53. No warning that my mother at 40 would be widowed with seven children. Could not have anticipated that. The founder of our ministry, the Life Action Ministries, the parent of Revive Our Hearts, at age 42, was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And 7 months later, he was with the Lord. Five children, 21 and under. We don't know the future. We know we're going to die unless we're here when the rapture comes and Jesus takes us to heaven. And we're not saying that if you do this planning, that therefore there won't be any hard things in your life, or that this is... We're not saying this is like a, I'm so afraid of what might happen that I'm going to take control of everything. We're saying this is just trying to be faithful stewards of what we do have, including your children.
Right.
I mean, that's part of the planning mm-hmm. for them and their provision and their protection. It's not going to keep hard things from happening to your children.
Right.
It's not going to keep hard things from happening to your family. But as we honor the Lord with what we do know and what we do have, then we can come to Him and say, Lord, I need your protection. I need your help. I need your grace. mm-hmm. in these unexpected
right.
things.
And I think that's huge, Nancy, because as women, we ought to be engaged. We're engaged in lots of different areas mm-hmm. in our life, and we lead full lives for sure. But this is one area that we do have to lean into, even when it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And in advance, mm-hmm. right? That's that preparing concept. Whenever you can, even if it's inconvenient, join your spouse in the conversation when they go and see the financial advisor and when they go and see the attorney or when they have to update the forms. It's not that two of you have to be there to dot every I and cross every T, but to know who's sitting across the table.
Who they're even talking to.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Who the agents and advisors and counselors are, who's on the various documents, who's authorized on your account, and where is it located? I bring this up because I do have couples that I work with, and I'll make an appointment to meet with both of them, and only one shows up. You know, where is your spouse? Oh, she had other things going on today and decided not to come. And that's hard.
Down the road, that's going to be harder for them.
Yeah. Right, right. And yet, I do understand the household division of duties. So you want to accommodate the couple. But where possible and when possible, be engaged, be involved.
Part of this is, and Robert and I were driving up to Grand Rapids today for, he had a meeting and we had this recording. And we're saying, you know, just a starting place is you and your mate need to talk.
Absolutely.
About these things.
It's the first step.
And in the busyness of everyday life, it's one of the things that can just get put off yeah. and get put off and get put off. Robert turned 70 recently. I'm at the 60-year mark. And how did this happen?
Right.
Like, you know, I was just 30 yesterday. But have the conversation. And I think if you have a tense relationship or you're not on the same page about other things, yeah. this can be a really hard thing to talk about. And maybe one is more motivated to talk than the other. But I think as a wife, you can say, honey, I know you want what's best for our family.
Right.
I mean, approach it in a humble way and not putting pressure on him, but saying, can we talk
right.
about this? And to ask questions. And I found some of the teaching that Lisa and Andrea, you have done to be, and Karen, some of what I've heard in your story, to be so helpful for Robert and me. And I'm thinking, okay, some of this stuff we have in place, some of this stuff we need to talk about
right.
and see where we are.
And try to make a date, you know, make it a fun time, but set it on the calendar to do it. And you'll feel so much better when you're done. Is just sit down and make it happen. And that's your first step. And the confidence that you'll feel is just amazing. So.
And on the next program, we want to tick off what some of those things are that you just need to be sure that you have in place. And then we also want to talk about something called advanced directives. And this has to do with some end-of-life issues, planning for that. It may not be a comfortable conversation, but it's a really important one. And again, it's part of our honoring the Lord with each season of our lives. So be sure and be with us for that next conversation here on Revive Our Hearts.
Nancy DeMoss-Swalgamuth has been talking with Karen Melby, Lisa Hagenauer, and Andrea Karsten about preparing for the future. For some of our listeners, today's program has brought up very specific emotions and needs because you're already in a season of widowhood. If that's you, we'd like to send you a devotional by Margaret Nyman called Hope for an Aching Heart. It's our gift to you when you support Revive Our Hearts with a gift of any size. Your gift will help us continue to point women to God's Word for practical help in every season of life. Ask for Hope for an Aching Heart when you call 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or visit reviveourhearts.com. We'll send one copy per household for your donation of any amount this week. And you could also support Revive Our Hearts in a significant way by planning to give a gift from your estate. As you're thinking through the future, don't forget about giving to ministries who are building God's kingdom. To help you think that through and evaluate the tax ramifications to your giving, we invite you to check out an online tool called My Legacy Planner. It's simple, confidential, and only takes 10 minutes or less to complete. Go to reviveourhearts.com to get your free My Legacy Planner. What three major things do you need to have in place in your estate plan? Find out what these essentials are tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wahlgemuth believes in God's promise to provide for His children. The program is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.